Good morning. All right. So, courage in the face of discouragement. What comes to your mind when you think of courage? Now, this is a question for all of you, so I'm expecting some responses this time. So, what do you think of when you hear the word courage?
Courage.
No, don't know. Okay.
I think of knights with their armor and swords.
Okay, so think of a warrior charging out to battle. What else?
Confidence.
Okay. Confidence.
Going ahead even though there's danger.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else?
Doing something that's not normal.
Yeah. So a couple of the ones that I came up with were, at least for some people in the world that have courage, are police officers, firefighters, medics, soldiers. They show a specific type of courage. What about pastors and missionaries? They also show courage. Or a superhero. That's a pretty good example of a person that shows courage. And finally, you and me. I guarantee that everyone in this room at one point or another has showed courage. Now, we're going to come back to that one at the end, but each person, each job that or person that I just mentioned shows a different type of courage. Now, they may have little bits and parts of each different type of courage, but we'll go over that later. So let's lay the foundation and define courage. So courage is the ability to do something that frightens one, strength in the face of pain or grief, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And I think the final definition is most applicable to us as Christians, is to have courage of one's convictions, to act in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. Now, in the book of Joshua, God commands Joshua to be courageous. He commands him to be courageous because he's going to lead the Israelites to getting rid of the Canaanites in the Promised Land. And we can still have that same, we can still apply that same command in our lives today. So Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 through 9 says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So God commands Joshua to be strong and courageous three times in this passage. And I like the last verse, how it says at the end, "Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Be courageous. The Lord is with us wherever we go. So let's dive straight into the six different types of courage that are out there. First one being physical courage. Physical courage is bravery at the risk of bodily harm or death. It involves developing physical strength, resiliency, and awareness. And you can see that with a soldier or a firefighter or a policeman. The next one is social. This type of courage is also very familiar to most of us, as it involves risk of social embarrassment, exclusion, unpopularity, or rejection. It also involves leadership. A lot of leaders have to deal with this. Moral courage. This involves doing the right thing, particularly when the risk involves shame, opposition, disapproval from others. Here we enter into ethics and integrity. The resolution to match word and action with values and ideals. As Christians, we're going to deal a lot with moral courage and what our worldview is and what we believe in, especially today, standing on what we believe in and holding fast and having the courage to not back down from people who are going to criticize us and tell us that we're wrong. Next is emotional courage. This type of courage opens us to feeling the full spectrum of positive emotions at the risk of encountering negative ones. It's strongly correlated with happiness. Intellectual courage. This speaks to our willingness to engage with challenging ideas, to question our thinking, and to risk making mistakes. It means discerning and telling the truth. A very good example of this is many years ago when Mr. Graham debated with Bill Nye, and that was a very intellectual debate, a debate between evolution and the Christian ideology, and it was a clash. We have to discern what's right and wrong. Spiritual courage. This fortifies us when we grapple with questions about our faith, purpose, and meaning, either in a religious or non-religious. Now, I'm taking the class hermeneutics. That's why I'm here preaching today. And, you know, the example I had at the beginning with pastors and missionaries, why do they have spiritual courage? Well, it's because to get up here and preach, our goal is to give the truth. And we don't want to lead people astray. It's not our goal. We want to give the truth. So it takes courage to come up here because I don't want to say the wrong thing and lead everyone astray. So it takes a lot of courage to get up here and speak for everybody. So now we're getting it. Now let's go on to discouragement and persecution. So I want to briefly start out with phobias and fears. Now, I personally have a fear of spiders. That's the way it is. Now, it's not that I'm going to scream and run away, but inside I just get so terrified of spiders. There's a fear for just about everything. There's even a fear of fear, believe it or not. But this is where we have to ask the question, are we relying on God? Are we going to take our fear and let it control us? Or are we going to have courage and turn it around and rely on God to take care of us and know that He has it all under control? So now that we've gone over fear and courage and the six types of different courage, we're going to talk about Elijah and how he had all different types of courage throughout his life. So let's start off with the first one, being physical courage. So Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and Elijah had to go and tell King Ahab at the time that there was going to be a drought in Israel because he was leading the people away from God by worshiping Baal and that whole thing. So that's found in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Elijah was exhibiting physical courage because King Ahab could have killed him right then and there. He was putting himself at risk for what he believed in. He was also, he trusted in God to nourish him in the wilderness after he was fleeing from Ahab. So after Elijah went in front of King Ahab and told him about the drought, he fled because Ahab obviously wanted to kill him. Again, Elijah was putting himself in harm's way for what he believed in. Social courage and moral courage. Facing King Ahab multiple times and telling him of the drought that was plaguing Israel was putting Elijah in quite the tight spot. He was having to stand up for what he believed in, and again, this brings us back to our morals and what we believe in as Christians. Elijah had a set of beliefs going off of the Old Testament, and he saw that Ahab was leading them astray. He was leading the people of Israel away and turning them towards Baal. And he confronted Ahab and told him it was wrong, through the power of God, of course, and he was put through persecution. Us as Christians are going to have to do the same thing and stand on what we believe in And we are going to have persecution. It's always tied with our faith. Emotional courage. So in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 10, talks about how later on, how Elijah was going through a little bit of a depression. So it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.' And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers.' He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel that touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, eat, because your journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and then went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the mountain of God. And he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed the prophets with your sword, and I am alone and left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" So God was the angel was ministering to Elijah during this time and encouraging him, because Elijah was being persecuted. He was being hunted down for his faith, and he was the only one left. Or as he says here, sometimes it feels like we're the only ones. Sometimes it feels like we're all alone. But, you know, we can always turn to God, and he'll always be there, as it said in Joshua. He's always here for us to comfort us. And we can always turn to one another to be an encouragement to one another, to have courage. Finally is the spiritual courage and intellectual courage. So I'm going to focus in on Elijah's challenging of the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. Came to a point where Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to see which God was the one true God. And this is really quite the awesome story. When it comes down to it, though, it was a spiritual battle. Elijah was facing the prophets of Baal for the battle of the hearts of the people of Israel. To prove which God was the true one, if it was Baal, then the people would turn to Baal. If it was God, and God was the one true God, was proven the God of Israel, they would turn to to Elijah. So, again, to relate to us, where do we face spiritual battles today? At work, school, friends, church, even family. There are so many places that we are going to encounter different spiritual battles. War is waged all around us. But again, we need to have courage and faith in God. And then finally, the intellectual battle between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. He was challenging not only their faith, but their God directly, mocking Baal. It was a battle of the minds as well as a spiritual battle. So speaking out for what we believe in is a big part of courage as a Christian. So in the book of Acts, chapter 4, this was the beginning of the church. The apostles were starting to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and this is where persecution started to take root. So in Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, it says, "But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard, or at least heard. We are the light of this world. There are so many people around the world that are martyrs for Jesus Christ, for the faith, or who have gone through heavy persecution in the name of Jesus Christ. Specifically, I'll share with you a story about this young man named Muhammad. Muhammad was only a teenager when he was forced to live in a half-constructed apartment building after his family threw him out for going to church. As a Fulani herdsman, Muhammad's parents were strict Muslims and kicked him out when he started attending church. He spent the next 6 years living in a building without plaster, windows, or a pillow to sleep on until he had finished school. Because I was Fulani, I didn't know how to read or write until the day I started going to church. From there, I sent myself to school to learn. At 18 years of age, extremely unwell and nowhere to go, no money, Muhammad tried to return home, but again was rejected, even by his siblings. My brother told me it would be better if I were dead than for them to associate with an unbeliever, he recalls. He soon met a Christian man who occasionally helped him with food and money and was a constant source of encouragement for him. He would tell me, "Be strong. This season you're going through a pass and you'll forget it." The man told him about a Bible school, but without money it would be impossible for him to attend. Muhammad contacted the Bible school and they confirmed that he needed to pay tuition fees. I prayed and said, "God, if you want me to go to this school, you will provide for me." After this prayer, he received a phone call saying that his fees had been paid for and he began attending the school. He does not know who paid for it. Muhammad soon realized that he would struggle to gain acceptance even within the Christian communities because of his Fulani background. Even after completing Bible school, time and time again, Muhammad found himself with nowhere to go and no money. "I wasn't accepted by Christians or Muslims, and if it wasn't for the love I had for Jesus, I would have never stayed a Christian." At age 25, Muhammad only recently arrived at YWAM and knows this is where his new journey begins. "In all these things I've gone through, I know that God has been training me," he says. "If I meet people that go through this, I'll be able to listen to them and hold them and be there for them." Muhammad had recently been in contact with his mother, and she started to speak with him again. "Since then, I prayed that God would not allow my mother to die until she knows Jesus." Despite the rejection he had lived with and the emotional battles he faced, Muhammad is still standing in his faith, strong in his faith. "Everything you see about me through Jesus, the gentleness, everything I have, nothing can separate me from Christ, not even my own family. People have offered me everything, money, cars. If I would come back to Islam, I said no. You cannot change me. So going back through that and looking at Muhammad's life story, we can take his story as an encouragement for us. That Christian man that he met was an encouragement to him and helped him along his journey. How many people do we know that we can be an encouragement to when they're going through a rough time, to tell them to have courage, that it will get better? The closer, the more active that we are for God, the more that Satan is going to attack us. It's important to surround yourself with strong believers and not surface-dwelling believers. Next, I'd like to look at a really encouraging psalm. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, says, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamps against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Now I want to break this down a little bit because it's really cool, because in my school we've been taking this class on the Psalms and really dissecting them and going through them, and I want to really break it down a little bit line by line almost. But the first couple of lines, it says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my defense and my life. Whom shall I dread? These lines are descriptions of God's care, followed by a question proclaiming the author's newfound courage in Christ. Skip over two, go to three, which says, if an army encamps against me, which this is a description of a threat, my heart will not fear, then an expression of trust. If a war arises against me, description of a threat, in spite of this, I am confident. Again, expression of trust. These last four lines are similar and are repeated for emphasis. Now, I couldn't go through this message without mentioning Paul, because Paul just is very renowned for his courage and dedication to the faith. In Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14, Paul was imprisoned. He was on his way to his trial in Rome in front of Caesar. And his conditions of his cell were probably uncomfortable, not ideal. Prison in general is not ideal. But it says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that the most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now, Paul was writing to the people of Philippi to encourage them. Was Paul cursing God for his uncomfortable imprisonment? No, he was praising God. He was giving all the glory to him. And I think it's really cool because the last verse, verse 14, says, and the most brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Instead of being a discouragement and seeing Paul's imprisonment as a backslide and that this was a hindering of the gospel, the spread of the gospel, it only spurred people on and gave them more courage to spread the gospel. So how does this apply to us? The world, in 1 John 2:17, it says, the world is passing away, also its lusts, but one who does the will of God will live forever. The world is not going to exist forever. Our life on earth is short, but we have hope that we will live forever with God. But that doesn't mean we're still going to have to suffer a little bit on earth. So we're still going to have courage. What should we be willing to sacrifice? Our food, home, time, clothing. I go down a whole list of things that we should be willing to sacrifice. And as time passes, it's only going to get harder. Persecution will become more. So I want to go back to the beginning. When I list a bunch of different people who exhibit courage, the last one on my list was you and me. So I know that, as mentioned, everyone in this room has at least showed courage once or twice in their life, at least. But how are we going to show courage? How are we going to go on from now and be a light in this world? I can tell you it's not going to be easy, but have faith, because God is always with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come before you today, and I just thank you that everyone here today made it safely, and I just thank you that you are an encouragement to us, Lord, and that you give us your word to read and to have as an encouragement, Lord. And I pray that we can go out from here today and be an encouragement to others, be light in the world, and to witness to others. The world won't be here forever, Lord, and our time is short. So please just give us the courage to go and witness, Lord. I thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.